This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Kavanaugh's denial. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Tuesday, September 25. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh denies sexual assault allegations and says he won't be intimidated into withdrawing from consideration.
Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein will meet with President Trump to discuss his tenure as the number two man at the Justice Department.
11 days after Hurricane Florence, some South Carolina residents today are preparing to evacuate as rivers take in water from North Carolina.
And heads up for new parents, how tariffs could hit baby products.
Crib manufacturers are saying that these new tariffs that went into effect are going to maybe tack $50 on or $100 on to the price of a crib from $200 to $250 or $300. And that's not the only thing on the list related to babies. There's also bassinets, diaper bags, wooden safety gates, things like that.
Leslie Albrecht at MarketWatch on how the trade war could hit things like cribs and diaper bags. Her report in about 20 minutes. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh has repeatedly denied accusations of sexual misconduct that have threatened to derail his confirmation.
I'm not perfect, but I've never done anything like this.
In an exclusive interview with Fox News last evening, Judge Kavanaugh emphatically denied Dr. Christine Ford's claim against him, saying that he was a virgin through high school and for many years after.
I am looking for a fair process, a process where I can defend my integrity and clear my name.
He added that he never attended any such party and that the other people who alleged to be present have said they do not remember any such party. Mr. Kavanaugh added that he was not questioning and have not questioned that perhaps Dr. Ford at some point in her life was sexually assaulted by someone at some place, but what he knows is he's never sexually assaulted anyone. Judge Kavanaugh also said he would not withdraw his name from consideration over the allegations. Republicans are vowing to push the confirmation of Judge Kavanaugh, even as a new allegation of sexual misconduct emerged.
This claim is so dubious that the New York Times passed on the story entirely.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell took to the Senate floor to call the allegations a smear campaign and promised to vote on the Senate floor to confirm the judge, quote, in the near future. Christine Blasey Ford, a California college professor, has accused him of sexually assaulting her when they were in high school during the 1980s. Here's Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Leader McConnell, you spent 5 minutes pointing your finger at Democrats. That shows someone who's in a pickle. That shows someone who's dug in a deep hole. If you really believed these allegations are part of a despicable smear job, Leader McConnell, why don't you call for an FBI investigation?
Judge Kavanaugh, in a letter to the Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Charles Grassley, said he will not be intimidated into withdrawing. But in addition to the parties directly affected, like Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, women are also wrestling with the sexual assault allegation against him. More from Washington Post national political reporter Jenna Johnson. Jenna, what are you hearing?
We got together half a dozen reporters who were sent out all across the country to Texas, Minneapolis, St. Louis, the Tampa, Florida area, South Carolina, and just walked up to women and asked them about what's happening in Washington right now and what they think of this accusation against Brett Kavanaugh. And, you know, I mean, I guess one surprising thing is we found many women who were just not following this issue or did not want to talk about this issue. Those who did want to talk tended to kind of fall along their traditional party lines. A lot of Democrats we talked to were very upset about this, do not want to see his confirmation go through, were not fans of his to start with, and are just kind of appalled to see yet another example of the Republican Party perhaps not taking women's concerns as seriously as they think that they should be taken. Conservative women a lot of times were defended Kavanaugh, raised concerns about the accuracy of this accusation. And some women kind of said, all right, even if this did happen, he was 17. They didn't think that it should derail his nomination. But a lot of different opinions out there right now.
It's interesting. So this fell largely along political lines, not necessarily gender?
Yeah, exactly. And we've kind of seen that in polling also. Fox News had a poll that came out over the weekend where they asked people about this, and about 36% of Americans say that they believe Christine Blasey Ford, the woman who's accused Brett Kavanaugh of assaulting her. You know, when it comes to Democrats, 59% of them believe her. Republicans, only 14%. And then when you get to women and men, 38% of women believed her. So the bigger divide is political, not between gender.
We're speaking with Jenna Johnson at the Washington Post, national political reporter. She's written a piece about how women wrestle with accusations against Brett Kavanaugh. Who is pointing, I guess, also to say, you know, politically, Bill Clinton, the treatment of Keith Ellison? I mean, because this thing tends to mushroom at times.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this brings up issues that people have been talking about for several years now. There's been a lot of comparisons made to Clarence Thomas in the 1990s and when he was up for a vote, and Anita Hill coming forward, and people kind of looking back at how that was handled versus now. A big thing that's happened is the Me Too movement. There's been a big national conversation about sexual assault, sexual abuse, sexual harassment, and people are kind of looking back on things that happened in the 90s, things that Bill Clinton is accused of doing or has said that he's done, that people are evaluating in a new light, and trying to figure out not just, you know, if they think these sorts of things are right or wrong, but if these things are disqualifying for being on the Supreme Court, being, you know, in a position of power in Hollywood, being an elected leader. And that's what Americans are really kind of trying to wrestle with right now.
Is this another branch of the Me Too movement, the way this is developed?
It's another major example. You know, I mean, and probably a memorable one, where you have, you know, a man who seemed headed towards the Supreme Court, and that process has been slowed down, and we'll have to see what happens next. I think a lot of people are kind of waiting to see what happens, and that's really going to kind of firm up their opinion of things.
Thanks, Jenna. Jenna Johnson, Washington Post national political reporter. It's 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Look into any great business, whether it's a manufacturer or a hotel, a store, school, or hospital. Look into each and every one of them, and you'll find the same thing. Great people. At Kronos, we believe that great businesses are powered by great people. And with Kronos Workforce Solutions, we'll help you find them, keep them, and engage them. Learn more at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Tuesday. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein will meet face-to-face with President Trump on Thursday to discuss whether he keeps his job. Mr. Rosenstein oversees the special counsel investigation into alleged Russian interference in the 2016 election. Mr. Trump yesterday was vague about the future of the Justice Department's number two.
We want to have transparency, we want to have openness, and I look forward to meeting with Rod at that time.
Speculation about his job ran rampant yesterday in Washington. People close to Mr. Rosenstein told reporters he expected to be fired imminently, while White House Chief of Staff John Kelly told officials in the West Wing that Mr. Rosenstein had already resigned. Mr. Rosenstein has not only been the target of Mr. Trump's anger, but also the New York Times reported Friday that in early 2017, he discussed secretly recording the president and recruiting cabinet members to an effort to remove him from office. He denied it. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
President Brett Kavanaugh says he won't let false accusations drive him out of the process as he, President Trump, and top Republicans mount an aggressive drive to rally the public and GOP senators behind his shaky Supreme Court nomination. Kavanaugh gave an unprecedented interview to Fox.
I've never sexually assaulted anyone. I did not have sexual intercourse or anything close to sexual intercourse in high school or for many years thereafter.
While Trump and Republican leaders accused Democrats of a smear campaign, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer called for an FBI probe.
There's one simple way to get to the bottom of this, without the he said, she said, without the finger pointing and name calling. A quiet, serious, thorough background check by the FBI.
A Senate Judiciary Committee hearing will be held on Thursday. Bill Cosby faces a good chance of being sent to prison when a judge is expected today to sentence the TV star who was convicted of drugging and sexually assaulting a woman. The once-beloved actor and comedian dubbed America's Dad for his role in The Cosby Show faces anything from probation to 10 years in prison for drugging and molesting a Temple University basketball administrator at his estate near Philadelphia. A senior Chinese official says it's difficult to proceed with trade talks with the U.S. while Washington is putting a knife to China's neck, a day after both sides heaped fresh tariffs on each other's goods. The official says when the talks can restart would depend on the will of the U.S. U.S. tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods and retaliatory taxes by Beijing on $60 billion worth of U.S. products, including liquefied natural gas, kicked in yesterday, unnerving global financial markets. Nine sports franchises from Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NFL are teaming up and asking fans to register to vote. The Bulls, Lakers, Clippers, Bucks, and Kings from the NBA, along with MLB's White Sox, Athletics, and Giants, and the 49ers of the NFL are offering fans a platform to register starting today on the team's mobile apps, websites, and social media as part of a rally the vote effort. According to the U.S. Census, there are 87.9 million Americans eligible to vote who are not registered.
All right. Thank you, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Pleasure with us. The new round of tariffs the U.S. has placed on Chinese imports could hit new parents where it hurts, with cribs, bassinets, diaper bags, and other infant products all on the list of things that would be affected. More from personal finance reporter Leslie Albrecht at MarketWatch. Leslie, how much more might they pay?
Crib manufacturers are saying that these new tariffs that went into effect are going to maybe tack $50 on or $100 on to the price of a crib, from $200 to $250 or $300. And that's not the only thing on the list related to babies. There's also bassinets, diaper bags, wooden safety gates, things like that.
Wow. You made an interesting point here, or somebody in your story did, about there could be dangerous consequences if you try to save money by, say, trying a used crib.
Yeah, exactly. That's a no-no, because the used cribs don't meet the same safety standards as the current models. So it's always something that experts advise to not do that when you're shopping for baby gear, but especially in this instance, if you think you're going to save money that way, really don't do that.
So for this stuff, though, do the price hikes take effect overnight?
Not necessarily. It depends on whether or not the manufacturers can absorb the cost of the new tariffs first. So it's something that consumers, you know, might start seeing sometime soon, but it's a little, it's not quite like black and white, like it's going to happen immediately.
All right. So as the one person said in your story, you don't have to rush out tonight and buy all that stuff if you're having
exactly.
a baby this year. Okay.
Exactly. And another interesting point is that, you know, when it comes to having a baby, these hard costs, like, you know, getting all this new gear like cribs and bassinets, those kind of pale in comparison to the other expenses related to having a kid. So, you know, if you're going to be having to send your kid to daycare or you're taking time off from work, those are expenses that are far, far more burdensome for most families.
Got it. We're speaking with Leslie Albrecht, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. She's written a piece entitled, "Oh Baby, Cribs, Bassinets, Diaper Bags, and Other Infant Products Are on Tariff Hit List," talking about the new tariffs that went into effect Monday as Washington and Beijing swap tariffs. You point out, too, there was a longer list of baby products that were targeted this summer.
There was, and the Juvenile Products Manufacturing Association really lobbied hard and got a lot of those things off the list. So originally, car seats were on the list. But they lobbied and got them off the list. So they're hoping that the U.S. Trade Representative will maybe make similar allowances for them in the future.
What else do we keep in mind here as this stuff hits?
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting time, actually, for baby and children-related objects or products right now, because the Toys R Us and the Babies R Us bankruptcy has created this glut of inventory on the market. So there's already, like, warehouses full of stuff that are waiting to get into consumers' hands, and people are offering discounts that were not previously on offer.
Wow.
So there are deals to be had right now when it comes to buying this stuff. But also something to keep in mind is the price of diapers and wipes are going to go up pretty soon, because Procter & Gamble and Kimberly-Clark announced that the price of wood pulp is driving those items up. So that's another baby-related expense to keep an eye on.
It's Leslie Albrecht at MarketWatch. The latest round of tariffs that went into effect yesterday would impose a 10% tax on $200 billion in Chinese products and would increase to 25% in January of 2019. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. Trade stocks and keep all of your profits. You can learn how to invest as you build your portfolio with the easy-to-use Robinhood platform. Discover new stocks and track favorite companies with personalized news feeds. Even get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at Gordon.Robinhood.com. That's Gordon.Robinhood.com.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday, September 25th. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Kavanaugh goes on Fox News to deny sexual misconduct. Deputy AG Rosenstein meets with Trump Thursday about his job at Justice. A young woman whose violent arrest on a New Jersey beach went viral earlier this summer has been indicted on charges including two counts of aggravated assault of a police officer. Steelers beat the Bucks in Monday Night Football, and the teenager from Indonesia who survived 7 weeks adrift at sea. That story in about 20 minutes. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. During Dell's annual sale, Dell Small Business is offering up to 40% off select PCs with Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. Colleges and universities are wrestling with a rise in sexual assault claims, lawsuits brought by those accused of assault, and conflicting directions from courts and the federal government on how to handle them. Complicated story by Wall Street Journal reporter Doug Belkin. Doug, set this up.
So if you're a college or a university and you're trying to protect students and make sure that everybody's safe with regard to sexual assault or harassment, there are a lot of competing agendas that you are subject to right now.
Man, all right, so you open the story with talking about the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals and what it's been doing. Explain that.
So if a person is accused of harassment on a college campus, then what happens is if the school will try to adjudicate the claim. So they will investigate it, and they will have a hearing. And that hearing, there are rules for the hearing, which were set up by Title IX. Title IX is created to make sure that there's gender equity on college campuses. And in 2011, the Obama administration leveraged the Title IX rules to say, listen, if people are being sexually assaulted or harassed and it's impacting their education, then this is a gender bias and we need to deal with it. So Title IX became a place where sexual assault claims were heard. So there's this huge apparatus that was built since then to hear these claims. And there are rules, and those rules, schools have to comply with those rules. At this point, if an accuser says that an accuses somebody of doing something, that person does not have a right to cross-examine them in a hearing. Mm. So this is, you know, this is goes against the grain of American jurisprudence, and the Sixth Circuit Court said no, that's not okay. they have a right to face them. So then what do you have? You have a, you know, potentially a young woman who's been who's accusing a young man of sexual assault, who doesn't want to maybe see him or deal with it. There's a lot going on, and now the court says, okay, well, you know, to make it up, to give him his fair due process rights, he can sit down and ask her questions. So that's part of what that that court decision said.
Boy, we're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Doug Belkin. How about just the idea of schools trying to tackle this versus police detectives?
Yeah, so this is the most common question I hear in the comments on the story. That's what everybody says. Why aren't the cops just doing this stuff? And I don't have a great answer to that. I asked a lot of experts this question, and sort of what they said was, if you work at a company and somebody says something untoward, you go to HR, and HR tries to deal with it, right? If it's a rape or something violent or something different, you know, that's a little bit different. But a lot of these claims are on the ground, and the idea is that they're not they can be dealt with by the school. I mean, I don't have a super answer. Why shouldn't the police be dealing with some of this stuff? You know, the schools have an incentive to deal with this in-house for reputational purposes, yeah, right? They don't want all these things going out. And part of the reason why Obama came out in 2011 and said we need to put more muscle behind Title IX was because the schools were burying these cases and women were not getting the satisfactory results. They felt like they were getting ignored. So they beefed up this administration to deal with those claims.
I thought it was interesting, too. You said that some schools have found the problem so vexing that they've outsourced investigations. Wow.
Right. So this is happening on a bunch of, so you hear about this with like these huge cases like Penn State and Michigan State when the crap has hit the fan, so to speak, yeah. And this is at this point just too big for anybody in-house to deal with, so they bring in these law firms who charge an arm and a leg and they do the investigations for them. But that model is beginning to trickle down to other schools now, and actually this is a couple of years old. It's not just all in the wake of that. And it's particularly happening at smaller schools, because if you have a adjudication process of faculty, and then so they hear these cases, these are generally faculty and administrators, and the faculty are teaching classes, and these students may be in the classes, and it creates this uncomfortable dynamic, and the school said, you know, let's just outsource it. We'll get retired judges, we'll get retired investigators to do this, and they'll follow our rules, and it's better for everybody. So that's beginning to happen, because there's just so many wrinkles here.
Thanks, Doug. Wall Street Journal reporter Doug Belkin. Meanwhile, Education Secretary Betsy DeVos is preparing to release new rules strengthening protections for students accused of sexual assault and lightening the burden placed on schools. The rules will narrow the definition of sexual assault that schools are required to adjudicate and will restrict eligible cases to those that occur on campus. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well with the username at Gordon Deal. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we told you yesterday about a two-headed snake found in Virginia that was the stuff of nightmares. Well, the Philadelphia Flyers tried to up the ante, unveiling a new mascot that people are saying will send children running in the other direction, both in real life and in their dreams. His name is Gritty, and he's 7 feet tall, furry, orange, and angry. Gritty was unveiled yesterday at a Philly museum in front of various area school kids. The character's bio page suggests that Gritty is still working through some anger issues, saying that he's a talented but feisty and fierce competitor, unwelcoming to anyone who opposes his team. Also unwelcoming have been social media users who have universally panned the new Flyers mascot. Many liken the character to Animal from The Muppet Show or one of the guys from ZZ Top, while others hoped and prayed Gritty would be a short-lived mistake. Others took more extreme measures. A GoFundMe page called Euthanize Gritty quickly popped up and has raised $260 so far. Even the Philadelphia police got into the act, posting a picture of Gritty along with a video from the movie Forrest Gump, showing Forrest running away very, very fast.
That's a very Philly thing to do. Start a GoFundMe campaign called Euthanize
yes.
Gritty.
And it didn't help that Gritty actually made his debut last night in a preseason Flyers game.
Okay.
And fell down on the ice like 3 times.
Ah.
So some are saying that this is all an elaborate marketing stunt by the Flyers that somehow Gritty's going to wind up disappearing at some point, but they're just kind of getting some publicity here before the season starts. And what some people are saying.
And then perhaps there will be a rollout of a new mascot who will be wildly celebrated and loved.
Well, perhaps pretty much anybody, I guess, anything they roll out that's not Gritty will be loved, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's what I think.
Setting the bar so low. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's what some people are saying. I don't know if it's that elaborate, but that's what it appears.
Yeah, I think this is largely a swing and a miss.
Yeah.
By the Flyers.
Yes. We'll see how long Gritty lasts.
I'll give you Animal from the Muppets.
Yes.
Most closely resembles,
yes.
I believe, yeah.
Yes,
looking
yes.
at these pictures here.
Muppet on meth, I think, is the characterization that was used the most. And Gordon, a Colorado cafe may have understated things a bit over the weekend when it posted a sign saying it was closed due to bear shenanigans after a wild animal broke in and tipped over a 600-pound freezer. The chef at the Wildflower Cafe in Evergreen said he arrived at the business about 6:30 a.m. Sunday and discovered the bear had broken in overnight. He said the bear did not manage to get inside the 600-pound freezer, but it did climb to the roof and raid rice and brown sugar from a dry goods storage room. Thankfully, the shenanigans didn't keep the business closed for long. The cafe reopened yesterday morning with a new menu item, bear-shaped pancakes.
Well played.
Yes, although
well played.
Though it could, they didn't actually see the bear. They think it was a bear.
Yeah.
Perhaps it was Gritty. Gritty was hungry, and Gritty, Gritty is big enough to probably tip over a 600-pound freezer.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, that's a lot of muscle on that bear.
Not on skates though for Gritty.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Glad you're with us. Thanks for joining us. Just 10 minutes of light physical activity is enough to boost brain connectivity and help the brain to distinguish between similar memories. The Guardian details a new study by scientists at the University of California studying brain activity. They found connectivity between parts of the brain responsible for memory formation and storage increased after a brief interval of light exercise, such as 10 minutes of slow walking, yoga, or tai chi. The findings could provide a simple and effective means of slowing down or staving off memory loss and cognitive decline in people who are elderly or have low levels of physical ability. The scientists asked 36 healthy volunteers in their early 20s to do 10 minutes of light exercise at 30% of their peak oxygen intake before assessing their memory ability. The memory test was then repeated on the same volunteers without exercising. The authors of the paper are currently using the same method to look at the effects of light exercise on older people over extended periods of time. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Court in embattled Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh in an unprecedented television interview since allegations of past sexual misconduct emerged. Told Fox News he's never sexually assaulted anyone and will not withdraw.
I'm not going to let false accusations drive us out of this process.
Christine Blasey Ford alleges Kavanaugh assaulted her while they were both in high school, and Deborah Ramirez, in a story published in The New Yorker, alleges Kavanaugh exposed himself to her at a party when they were in college. Ford and Kavanaugh are expected to testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee Thursday. After a long weekend spent wondering if he should resign or would be fired, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein still has his job for now. President Trump gave Rosenstein a 3-day reprieve pending their face-to-face White House showdown.
I'm meeting with Rod Rosenstein on Thursday when I get back from all of these meetings, and we'll be meeting at the White House, and we'll be determining what's going on.
Democrats, including Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, called on fellow lawmakers to protect special counsel Robert Mueller.
The threat to Rod Rosenstein is a direct effort to intimidate and bully the special counsel.
Rosenstein's confidants expect him to be fired. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres is expected to paint a grim picture of the state of the world when leaders open their annual meeting today, spotlighting the breakdown of trust around the globe and the need to reinvigorate international cooperation. He's also expected to sound the alarm on climate change and stress that all people must benefit from new technologies. A new treatment for paralysis may provide new hope for the nearly 1.3 million Americans who have spinal cord injuries. 35-year-old Jeff Marquise, who was left paralyzed from the chest down after a 2011 mountain bike crash, was able to walk using an experimental electrical stimulator in his spine. Marquise was one of four patients who spent months doing intensive physical training at the University of Louisville's Spinal Cord Injury Research Center. He walked the length of one football field without rest and then almost a quarter of a mile over a one-hour session. Researchers hope to perform larger studies with more patients.
That's remarkable.
It really is.
There's electrical stimulation in his spinal cord.
Still a far way off on this, but yeah, it could be pretty amazing.
Wow, intense. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. An Indonesian teenager is telling an extraordinary story of how he survived 7 weeks adrift at sea. CBS News says Aldi Novel Adelang, who's 19, worked alone on a wooden fishing raft used to trap fish. In July, a storm snapped the line that connected his raft to the seabed, sending him helplessly adrift without a motor or paddle for 49 days. Within a week, he ran out of food and survived on the fish he caught and cooked using wood from the raft. One report said he strained ocean water through his clothes to drink. The Jakarta Post says he lit a lamp on his raft every time he saw a passing ship more than 10 times, but none responded. Eventually, he was 1,200 miles from his original location. Finally got a response on a handheld radio where he signaled to a passing ship. It was a Panamanian vessel. They plucked him out of the sea. 49 days. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.